We are certainly thankful for the presence of each and every one, especially those who might be our visitors. We are glad that you have come our way, that you have taken this opportunity to be with us. As we mention, every time that we do start to study a portion of God's Word, we come together at times such as this. It is our intent to find out what God wants us to do. That is why we study the Word of God. That's why we have set aside this particular time to do just that. This is the first day of the week upon which we partake of those emblems which represent the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. We make a contribution of that which God has blessed us with. But we also sing praises, we also pray, and we also study His Word. And for the time that we have together this morning, I'd like to talk to you about what we would just simply call a daily religion. In the things that I'm going to have to say this morning, I don't believe that I'm going to be telling you anything that is new. But so often as we begin to get involved in our day-to-day activities and the work that we have to do and children in school and going on vacation and one thing and then the other, we become so burdened down with these things that we forget the primary purpose in life for us. And that is to be pleasing in the sight of God, to set Him before everyone and everything else in our life. Because as we see, Christ gave His life so that we might live. So that is what He expects of us also, is to be living sacrifices, to go through these things day to day. And so as I said, as we go through these things that we're going to talk about this morning, you may discover that you already know all of these things. But we need exhortation day in and day out, because we do get caught up in the things that are in the world. There are things in this, as we're going to talk about, that perhaps you may recognize, I do those pretty well. But I hope that there's some others that you say, I can have some improvement. I can make some improvement on those things in my life. And as I look at this, I also recognize there's some things that I myself can do to improve on my everyday religion. In our language, we hear the expression, I heard it all my life, about clothes that we wear, that some were everyday clothes and some were Sunday clothes. I can hear my mother and father using that expression as I was growing up. And it may not even be Sunday, but if they said, Sterling, go put on your Sunday clothes, I knew what they meant. I was going to put on the very best that I had. I was going to put on those things that would influence others for good, that might leave an impression on them. These were the very best things that I had. I knew when I put on my Sunday clothes, I was not going to go through any kind of strenuous activities. I was probably going to sit somewhere and just try to impress somebody. But there were everyday clothes that I had also. And when my parents would tell me to put on everyday clothes, I knew exactly what they were talking about. Now, everyday clothes might fall into two categories also. Those things that you wear to school and something else. You know, I heard my mother use that expression. I use it to my children. They'll come in and they're wearing something, and I'll say, put on something else. And that means, you know, you're dressed up just a little bit too much. Put on some play clothes. But generally, they fall into those two categories. Sunday clothes and everyday clothes. And we know that everyday clothes are those things that we may have strenuous activities. We're not going to be as careful, perhaps, as we would in our Sunday clothes. Well, I'm afraid that as we can see in the body of Christ, and especially as we see out in the world, there's a lot of people who have a Sunday religion. It's not an everyday religion. And they put on their religion as they do Sunday clothes. They put it on Sunday morning, and they take it off Sunday night. And all the rest during the week, they become someone else. It's almost like this contrast that we've been studying on Sunday morning between the old man and the new man. They have a Sunday go-to-meeting, we might say, religion. And they take it off at night, and they're two different people. One of the things we also notice in the religious world, and even among some that are members of the body of Christ, is that they look at Sunday or going to church as almost kind of a social club that they are involved with. It's a Sunday thing that they do. And yet they're different all the rest of the time during the week. But the religion of Jesus Christ, that which is called Christianity, is more than a Sunday go-to-meeting religion. It is one that should be a part of our life every day. under the old law, we find that the children of Israel were to offer sacrifices unto God every day. In Exodus chapter 29 and also chapter 30, we find Moses giving instructions to the children of Israel concerning those daily offerings. Now, this is what you shall do, this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. In the 30th chapter, verses 7 and 8, Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn it incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Under the law of Moses, then, they had daily sacrifices and daily worship that they had to make unto God. And as we look back, the New Testament will tell us that there are types and antitypes of those things under the law of Moses and under the law of Christ. We can learn a great many things by going back to the Old Testament. We can learn about the nature of God, what pleases Him and what displeases Him. We can see those things that as they were obedient to them, then God was pleased. And we can also then turn to the New Testament and we discover that we also have a daily religion. We are a priesthood. Under the law of Christ, each and every one of us we're priests before God. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says there, we are an elect race, a royal priesthood. Revelation 5 and verse 10 also bears these things out. And we are to offer daily sacrifices unto our God. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 makes mention of the fact there that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And I am under the impression that that means every day of our life, every day that we have life, we are to offer ourselves as sacrifice unto Him. And it's not just on Sunday, it's not just on Wednesday night, or when it's convenient for us, but we are living sacrifices. There are certain things that we want to go over this morning that are part of a daily religion. One of those things that we want to talk about is that a daily religion requires daily prayer on our part. Under Judaism, under the law of Moses, as we just read a few moments ago in Exodus chapter 20, there were incense that were offered unto God every day, in the morning and in the evening. They were to do that until God told them not to do it anymore. He said, throughout your generation. And the priests were to do that. They were to follow that. In the morning, they would burn incense. In the morning, they would offer a sacrifice. They would do that also in the evening. And if they did not comply with that, God was not pleased. In Revelation 5 and verse 8, again, under the types and antitypes that we see under the Old and the New Testament, we find that it says there that the golden bowls full of incense which are the prayers of the saints. We find that there is reference being made here, an allusion to the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were made, the incense that went up before God as a sweet-smelling aroma, that this is the way that the prayers of the saints are, that we offer them, and in offering them in a way that is pleasing in the sight of God, they are acceptable in His sight. Offering them in the name of Jesus Christ and by faith, as He has directed us, this is pleasing unto Him. And this is something that should be done every day of our life. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, or whenever it might be convenient for us. The simple reason being that each and every one of us have daily needs. And those daily needs should be met. And God has the way of providing for us all these things that we need day to day. In whatever activity it might be. And we're well aware of the fact that God knows the needs that we have even before we ask them. He knows what we need. But He also knows that it is for our benefit that we pray to Him and we seek those needs, or we seek fulfillment of those needs. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, one of the things that Paul says to the saints there at Philippi is this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I believe we will all agree that we have daily requests. We have daily needs. And these prayers should be offered up to Him in that relationship. Jesus taught His disciples to pray over in Luke chapter 11. One of the things that He taught them to pray for is, "Give us this day our daily bread." The things that they needed daily. He says, "Give us these things. Pray unto God. This is what I am teaching you. This is how you are to address yourself to the Father. You have daily needs. Pray for those daily needs." And again, every one of us will agree to the fact that we have need of food. We have need of health, of shelter, of clothing, of His watchful, mighty hand caring over us in all of our activities in our life. We need help. We need guidance for spiritual growth every day as we turn to Him for the things that we need. This is something then that we should be striving after daily. Not just once a week, not just once a month, or even twice a week. We have these needs daily. In Psalms 55 and 17 and 88 and verse 9, we find there that David prayed unto God every day. Every day he would offer prayers unto God. The other prophets in the Old Testament would not just offer it once a day, but sometimes several times. Daniel, three times a day, would pray unto God. Here were people that were acceptable in His sight, those for whom God cared. David is a man after God's own heart, and here's a good example then for us in our prayers, that they should be something that is daily. We need to develop an attitude that we will pray in this way. A daily religion requires daily prayer. But all too often, even perhaps sometimes in our own life, we will come to realize that maybe the only time we pray unto God is when we are in need of something. Ever had that happen to you? Perhaps you've seen it in the lives of others and they've expressed it unto you. All of a sudden their life has gotten out of control. There's nothing else that they can do. They're at their wits' end, and finally they're going to turn to God and they're going to pray to Him. When everything seems to be in control in their life, when everything is fine with them, it almost seems that they have no time to pray because they're engaged in so many other activities. When everything begins to spin away, then they turn to God. We have admonition by Paul, the inspired writer, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, to pray without ceasing. That should be our attitude. A daily religion then requires that we pray daily unto our Lord. Not just when it's convenient, not when it's just out of control in our life and we want someone to help, but we need help each and every day. There is also a need for daily Bible study. Jesus said to the Jews in John 5 and verse 39 that they searched the Scriptures, and they did. They studied the Word of God every day. They wanted to know what God's will was, although in many instances they had preconceived notions as to the things God wanted and that God was going to bring about. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to study, to show himself approved unto God. We need to do this each and every day. Somebody might ask, as they read such statements as this, how often should we study? Well, we should study every day. We should study the Word of God every day. So many people, though, only study it when they have to. When they have to get maybe a lesson for Sunday morning or a lesson for Wednesday night, or someone has pressed a question upon them at work and they need to give a reply from the Word of God, then they'll sit in and they'll study it real hard from time to time. But the Word of God is spiritual food to those who are His children. And we need this spiritual food each and every day of our lives. The noble Bereans are a good example to us, as we can read what Paul said concerning them, or what Luke said concerning them in Acts 17 and verse 11, that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul was saying to them, was teaching to them, was the truth. This is the kind of habit we need to develop in our life. You know, our children attend public school 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year, sometimes even longer than that. We're even now finding those educators who want to make it year-round school. And one of the reasons they want to make it year-round school is the argument that when the child has 2.5 to 3 months off during the summer, he or she forgets so much. And so they won't have that lapse in there. And it'll be a continuation of the things that they're learning. This is the way that we master things, is by a continual study of that. Those of you who might be in the field of mathematics, you continually study that so that you can keep it fresh. Children in school have English every year, even into the time that they're in college, so that they can master the language. They study it all the time. Yet we often think that we can go to church on Sunday and on Wednesday night, perhaps for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours during the week, and we can learn everything that we need to know concerning the Word of God to be a faithful Christian and to remain faithful all the days of our life. Some people have that concept. We know that they do because that's what they practice. They don't have daily study of the Bible in their life. They have a Sunday go-to-meeting religion when it comes to examination of the Word of God. Each and every one of us has a necessity for physical food. Our body needs that. It's a habit we've gotten into. We eat 3 meals a day. Sometimes we'll eat more than that. We ate one this morning. We're looking forward to having one this afternoon, and maybe a couple of more before the evening's over. And we will miss those, or we will be hurt, if we miss even one of those. We feel it, don't we? We feel that hunger, that pain in our stomach when we have missed a meal or two. The Word of God is spiritual food that we need. Christ said in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He later in the next chapter pronounced that individual blessed who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. If we don't study the Word of God as we ought to, we should practice to do that. And if we don't, it should hurt us, just as missing a physical meal would hurt us. We find, though, that some who are children of God do not attend any kind of Bible study at all. They don't get it at home. They don't get too much in the assembly when they come together, maybe an hour or so. And they expect to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We cannot do that without daily study of His Word. And we need to set aside times every day for that. A daily religion requires daily Bible study. It also, I am convinced, requires of us daily evangelism. And this is something that I am afraid that many of us, perhaps me included, yes, me included, that I'm woeful in this. Daily evangelism, not taking the opportunities that are presented unto each and every one of us. Jesus made the statement in Matthew 26 and verse 55 as they had brought him to trial. He says, I sat daily with you in the temple teaching the word. He took every opportunity. And I think as we go through the gospel accounts, that this can be verified in his life. It wasn't just in the synagogues when he had an audience, but it was wherever he had an opportunity, he taught. He didn't wait to the Sabbath. He taught every day. The church in the New Testament grew bountifully because it was aggressive, because of daily evangelism by the part of each and every one who was a member of the body of Christ at that time. In Acts 2 and verse 42, it says there, and day by day, continually steadfast with one accord. This is what the disciples did. The 5th chapter of Acts and verse 42, and every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. This is what the early church did. They had opportunities and they took advantage. They taught daily. And it seems that they sought out people wherever they were going to convert people unto Jesus Christ. But the cry that we hear today among those who are saints is, I don't have time. I have so many other things that I have to do. I have work. I have family. My family has activities. And by the time that the end of the day comes, or whenever I might have an opportunity, my time is just gone. I don't have time for these things. Well, as we think about it for just a moment, there's a good possibility that the first church had the same obligations that we did. They had families. They had jobs. Most of them were probably not limited to 40 hours a week either. Some of them were slaves. They were servants. They had children. They had their children perhaps in activities, and they had other things that they needed to do. Yet they found the time to teach the Word of God. And I'm convinced that as an example of Paul, he taught while he was working with others. We can do exactly the same thing. We can teach others as opportunities arise, even at work. Some of the apostles were called by Jesus Christ while they were busy at the profession that they were in. Peter, James, and John were fishermen, and they were called while they were doing that. Matthew was a tax collector, and as he was at the place of Paul, Christ called him, and he followed him. And perhaps it is we can do the same thing with those that we come in contact with. Perhaps it may have been that someone at work told you about Christ, and as a result of that, you were converted. We meet strangers each and every day of our life. Maybe we don't have the opportunity to sit down in a lengthy discussion with them about religious things. But we might have a tract in our pocket. We might have something that we can give unto them that would leave an impression upon them. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 31, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a noble example this is for each and every one of us to follow. To strive to enlist ourselves in one of the greatest works that we have as children of God. And that is in teaching others His Word. There is absolutely no greater joy that you can have than to see an individual that you have worked with and you have taught the Word of God finally obey the gospel. Oh, we do that to our children and we're overjoyed with that. But to know that we have had been instrumental with someone who is outside of the family that we have met, that we have talked to, there's no greater joy than to know that you were instrumental in doing something for the salvation of their soul. But this means daily evangelism on our part. This means doing something each and every day. We need to go wherever they are, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day. Daily religion requires daily evangelism. It also involves exhortation. Exhortation one of another as children of God. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm convinced that we need exhortation each and every day of our life. I don't believe that this means that we necessarily have to talk to everybody every day that's a member of the church. But as we look around, we can see those that might be coming weak, weakened by the temptations that the world hurls at them. We can see them begin to slip back just a little bit. That's an individual that needs an exhortation, because as they remain in that situation, as the writer says here, that sin can harden us. The deceitfulness of sin can become such in our life that we might even think that we're pleasing in the sight of God. Daily exhortation is something that is needed. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Romans 15 and 1, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. These are passages of Scripture in the Word of God that tell us we are to have a part in striving to recover our fellow Christians who have gone astray. Those who are spiritual, restore such a one. Everybody needs some kind of exhortation from time to time. This is usually left, though, to somebody else in the congregation because, once again, it seems that perhaps we don't have time to do that. But even if one person forsakes God, that's one too many. And one that does, every one of us has a responsibility to seek the return of that individual. It is too often the case, though, that those who are weak in the faith are kind of left on their own. They're left out there to sink or to swim. We have lost too many people to the world simply because we've baptized them and not instructed them any further than that. We've not grounded them in the Word of God as we ought. We almost act as if baptism is the final thing that God requires from them, and they're going to be saved from that point on. We put them out on their own thinking that, well, now they know that much, as much as we do from the Word of God. You know, we wouldn't do that to physical children, would we? The way that a man and a woman, as they're married, want to bring children into the world, and when they finally are able to do that, they don't leave that child on their own, do they? They don't just set it aside and expect it to grow on its own. They nurture that child. They help it in every way that they possibly can. This is what we need to do. Daily exhortation, each and every one of us. But there's also a daily work that we need to do. The first disturbance that arose in the body of Christ in the New Testament is that in Acts, found in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, where there were Grecian widows who were neglected in the daily ministration. They didn't have the things that everybody else had. They were in need and they were being neglected. There was a problem here. And the apostles set aside those who could solve that problem. They got together and they decided what needed to be done, and they eliminated that problem. There was work that needed to be done day to day. You know, you and I need things, as we said in the very beginning concerning prayer, we need things every day. We need food to eat. We need clothing to put on. We need shelter every day of our life. But you know, those that are in need, such as widows and orphans, they need the same thing as we do. They're not have some kind of special dispensation from God that they have no need for these things. There is plenty of work to do. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 11, Christ made the statement there that the poor you would have always with you. We have opportunities from time to time to help those that are in need. Now, in speaking such as this, we're not advocating, I'm sure you know, orphans' homes or the support of orphan homes from the church or homes for unwed mothers. These things are the work of the individual, not the work of the church. But we have an obligation as individuals to help others daily. Paul made mention in Galatians 2 and verse 10 that we are to remember those who are poor. Again, remembering them so that we might help them. James says this is a part of pure and undefiled religion in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Our religion should not be one of mere profession, but one of action. And in this, we may find opportunity to take care of those who are in need. And they need that help every day. Not just once a week, not just twice a week, but every week. We have a responsibility to care for those who are poor. You know, oftentimes Matthew 26 and verse 11 is a scripture that is quoted and that is used against some kind of movement in our government, whether it be political or whether it be religious, that says, well, we're always going to have the poor with us, and we kind of pass that off as saying, well, we're never going to eliminate those that are poor. But in this, we recognize a responsibility. Certainly we're going to have the poor always with us. Christ said that. But in that statement is responsibility to care for those as we have opportunities. In the congregation that we're a part of, we may not have those that are poor. We may have others that are old and in need of something. We have those who are shut-in and need exhortation. They need help from time to time as they get sick. And they become disabled. And here is our responsibility. Again, that work is needed every day, not just once or twice a week. There is also a daily cross-bearing on our part. In Luke 9 and 23, Christ made the statement there to his followers that they are to take up his cross, their cross, and follow him. We have a cross, each and every one of us, to bear. We are to be ready to give up life's pleasures and eases if we are called upon in order to carry out the will of God. And if there happens to be a conflict between what we want to do and what the will of God says, our cross is we are to do what God says. We are to do this each and every day of our life. Not just when it's convenient for us. You know, a lot of people will do that. They will bear their cross whenever it becomes convenient for them. But when pressures become too strong, they'll do something else. They'll go against the will of God. We have the perfect example in Jesus Christ of that sacrifice through the sufferings that he made for us. Here is an example of what we are to do and how we are to bear our cross daily. He showed us what it means to follow righteousness, because here was someone who was hated. He was called names by others, and he was even put to death for what he believed and what he was trying to do. If we hope to follow him, we can expect some of those same kind of sufferings to come upon us. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 11 and 12, and also in 3 and verse 12. Paul also is another good example, because he knew what it meant to suffer for Jesus Christ. He knew what it meant to bear his cross for Christ, because of all the things that he went through, the beatings and the shipwreck, the being left for dead as he was stoned. This is the example that we need to follow in our day-to-day life. We sing about the old rugged cross. We sing other songs about crosses, and the one that Jesus Christ died upon, the one that we have to bear in our own life. We say how we love it, but do we really love to bear that cross of Christ? Do we love to bear our own cross in doing what God would have us to do? It used to be a popular thing when I was a teenager for boys and girls to wear these crosses around their neck. And for some reason, they thought it showed their religion. You know, it's always easy to wear a cross around your neck, but it's something else to bear your cross. To bear that cross for Jesus Christ in your day-to-day life. We've got so many who want to show that cross, but when it comes to bearing it, they're ready to lay it down when any difficulties arise. In Matthew 10 and verse 37, Christ said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." That's real cross-bearing. That is what we are called upon to do, to even sacrifice ourselves. Daily religion requires daily cross-bearing. Finally, it requires daily results on our part. In the New Testament time, we find that it says there, in Acts 2 and verse 47, they added to the church daily those that were being saved. The church increased in number daily, Acts 16 and verse 5, as the word of God was being taught. And everyday religion will bring forth everyday results in our life. Oh, it may not increase in number. We may not increase daily with converts, but as we do what we're supposed to do day in and day out, there will be personal spiritual growth every day for us. This is what we need to implement in our life. It would be wonderful, though, wouldn't it, if we could add a new convert to the body of Christ every time we got together. If we could baptize 3 people a week, what kind of growth would that be? We would think that was great, wouldn't we? It says in the New Testament, they added to the church daily those that were being saved. It worked then. Why can't it work now? We're preaching the same gospel. Perhaps it is we don't have the same devotion and consecration that they had in the beginning. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And I hope we're still preaching it in exactly the same way as they did in the first century. When we do what we're supposed to do daily, there will be daily results in our life. As we grow spiritually toward maturity, As we seek to evangelize those in the world, there will be those added to the body of Christ. A daily religion requires all of these things of us. And perhaps you could add to the things that we've said here. But it's prayer, it's study, it's evangelism, exhortation, work, cross-bearing, and results. This is something, again, that needs to be a part of our life. And as I said in the very beginning, I'm probably not going to tell you anything you don't already know. But what I hope to do in this is exhort you and me and urge us to do the things that we already know that we need to do. Sunday clothes are worn because we want to make a good impression on someone else. We want them to last. We don't want them to wear out. We're not going to change a motor in a car in our Sunday clothes. We want them to last a while. Sunday clothes are those things that we want, again, to make a good appearance and a good influence on others. Our religion should not be so flimsy that it cannot stand every day wear and tear as we do the things that we know that we ought to do. Let us make this a part of our life. Let us make our worship of God, our devotion unto Him, something that is every day. Find time for prayer and for Bible study and for exhortation, for all of these other things that so many times we say we don't have time for. How is your religion? Are you exercising your obligations and your opportunities daily? If you're not, then you're not pleasing in the sight of God. Christ gave His all for us. He gave up heaven to live as a man and take on those limitations, to die the cruel death on the cross of Calvary for us, so that we might have an opportunity to be with Him throughout eternity. We didn't deserve this, but He did it for us anyway. All He asks in exchange is that we give our life to Him. And giving our life to Him is for our best interest. It is for us now and also in the life that is to come. God's not going to ask us to do anything that's going to be harmful for us. He loves us, and He wants us to spend eternity with Him. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, what kind of religion do you have? Is it one that is just kind of Sunday type? You'll take it off when you get home tonight, and you'll live as you want to? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, then you need to put on Christ in baptism this morning. These are the instructions and the commands that He gives to us. He wants us to have faith, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and then to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then we will be spiritually alive. We can start growing and maturing in Christ, but not until that point. Perhaps as someone who is a member of Christ's church, you've sinned in such a way that you need to ask for forgiveness of that, then this is an opportunity for you to express yourself, to seek the prayers of those who have a like precious faith that you do. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?